In your Bibles, the book of Colossians, chapter 1, chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And I'm just going to stop right there, because there's plenty there. Well, I was going to start reading from verse 9, because if you look in the King James, that's where the sentence actually starts. But I was looking at Young's literal translation of it, and they actually broke it down 12, 13, 14, 15. And I thought, okay, I'll do it that way. But I got nothing against, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, have not ceased to pray for you. Because this assembly is where I am supposed to be. And even better, this is where I like to be. And even better than that, sometimes I just love being here. And it is good for me to be here. And I hope it's good for you. But Paul, this writing that I took, David, I'm going to put your pencil under here so I don't lose it or knock it off. Says we are to give thanks to the Father. Why? Well, we're supposed to give thanks for many things. Actually, everything. Yeah. You can pick them out. Life, health, joy, peace, love, understanding. That's plenty. But Paul here has a specific reason in mind, because Paul's reason actually includes all that stuff. Love, joy, peace, understanding, the fruits of the Spirit. It includes all those things, but I love this phrase here in particular. We're giving thanks to the Father who made us meet. He made us meet.
Yeah.
Give thanks to God for that.
Yeah.
Give thanks to the Father for that. And Walter said this, I agree with it. I read it. The Father has qualified us. There's a song that goes, and fit us for heaven to meet with thee there. It's called Away in a Manger. It's one of the verses a lot of people leave out. Now there's more to it than just being fitted for heaven, but we who were unfit are now made fit. We who were unqualified are now made qualified. We who were not meet are now meet. Because he made us. Walter, I don't know. That might have been why they didn't use the word qualify when they did this. It may not have been around. But the other part is, see, there's a lot of people who qualify themselves for a lot of things. We didn't qualify ourselves.
No.
He made us qualified.
Yeah.
We were totally and completely unqualified.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we were dead. Totally depraved. A dead alien sinner from God, but he has made us meet. Because it takes the Father to make us meet. It takes a work of God to qualify us. Matter of fact, I was perfectly unqualified, Mason. I was perfectly unqualified. That was the only thing I was good at being unqualified, to be in the presence of God. I was totally unqualified. And I couldn't qualify myself because I was dead. But now, according to Paul, we are now meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All I ever used to know was darkness. Men love darkness rather than light. That's the natural man. That was my state. But now I am meet. Now I am qualified to even see the light, to approach the light, which I used to hate. Because my deeds were evil. I didn't want to go to the light. I love the darkness. But God, the Father, has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And I said it before, I'll say it again. Believers are saints. Set apart by God in light. We have been delivered from the power of darkness by the Father. There's another song we sang, and the verse goes like this. The powers in darkness in malice may rage. The righteous shall hold on his way. Now, I don't know if that's where he took this verse from, but this works. We have been translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. And the powers in malice may rage. They may not. I don't care. But the righteous shall hold on his way because God has made us meet to be partakers. He has made us meet for something, for someone, himself. And the righteous shall hold on his way. That's a good song. It's not because I'm righteous. It's not because I'm good. It's not because it's my way. It's because he's made me meet. He's qualified me, and he's qualified you. If you know him, you shall hold on your way, because your way is now his way. It was the broad way at one time. Now it's a narrow way. But you're on it because he has qualified you to be on it. He has qualified you to be partakers. And where this word is delivered, I did like what the Young's Little Translation read there. Walter uses the word rescued. You has he rescued. Who did this? It says, who did rescue us out of the authority of the darkness? That deliverance was a rescue. And I needed rescuing because I couldn't qualify myself. I couldn't rescue myself. The old story that Henry Mahan told, well, it was a variation on a theme where the sinner's going down the river and you're supposed to throw him the rope and then you haul him in. Well, I'm sorry, but that sinner going down the river is a corpse. He can't grab the rope. He can't hold on, and he can't help pull himself in. I couldn't do it, you couldn't do it, and he can't do it. Now, if you can lasso him with a rope and drag him in, fine. But then you're still stuck with a corpse on the side of the river. Somebody's got to make us meet. Somebody has to come by when you're polluted in your own blood and say unto thee, live. It takes the power of God. Amen. The Father has made us meet to be the partakers. And we do partake. But only after we're rescued. And we are so far delivered from the power of darkness that now we're in the kingdom of his dear Son. He who is the light. The saints of God have been pulled out of darkness into his marvelous light. I like that. I do. Matter of fact, where it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, I wrote down here, it says it don't get any better than that. And then I thought, well, at least until we awake in his likeness, it don't get any better than that. And then I thought, well, and then until so shall we ever be with the Lord. And it doesn't get any better than that. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That is the inheritance of the saints in light, in Christ. We have been chosen to something, chosen to salvation, and it's not finished. We're still going through it. Conversion here doesn't end, it keeps going. But one day, there's an inheritance that we're going to partake in. We're in his kingdom now. But there's a kingdom coming. If you got a problem with that, you got problems with the book. Because the same book that says that we're in his kingdom now also says, and it's actually from, I think, the same writer, you know, has something to do with it. That we shall not all sleep, but we're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ are going to rise. We're going to be changed. And together we're going to go up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now we got some stuff to do after that. But so shall we ever be with the Lord. It doesn't get any better than that, I don't think. But I'll find out. By his grace. Those that the Father has qualified are those that he has translated. Those he has moved. I like that. The word, and one of the explanation definitions in Strong's is transferred. We've been transferred. I've been transferred. You've been transferred. Mm-hmm. We were with the powers of darkness. Yeah. Said Satan can take him captive at his own will. Well, we've been transferred. Sorry. And the powers in darkness may in malice rage. But we've been transferred. to the kingdom of his dear son, into his marvelous light. I like that. The next verse says, in whom? That's Christ. The in whom is his dear son, from the last verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In whom we have redemption. In whom is Jesus Christ. That's in him we have redemption. In him we were bought. In him we were ransomed. I was listening to one of Jim McClarity's CDs on the way up here on sovereignty. I was listening to it again. Debbie hadn't heard it. Salvation is free to us. But there was a price paid. I didn't pay the price. You didn't pay the price. You didn't pay the price. Jesus Christ paid the price. And he redeemed, past tense, his people with his blood. And in whom we have redemption through his blood. Someone has to die. Because without blood, Old Testament, there is no remission. It's also in the New Testament too. There were blood sacrifices everywhere. Jim mentioned it last week, and I remember talking to Earl about it. Years ago when we talked, and I looked at him one time, I said, from the description, the stuff I read in the Old Testament, what they call Judaism, the tabernacle in the wilderness was not pretty. Now they go into a lot of detail, and it is beautiful, the furnishings and the stuff they did to build that tabernacle, the gold and the bronze and the silver and the curtains of many colors, but on the outside was a coat of badger skin. You couldn't tell anything from the outside about what was going on the inside. And out beyond the tabernacle was where everything got killed. And a lot of things got killed. Because without blood, there is no remission. That was a picture. That was a type of him who came. And with his blood, with Christ's blood, there is remission. And it was shed once. One time, that's all. And in whom, in the redemption, it doesn't say the redemption's in his blood. It's in whom we have redemption. The redemption is in Christ. Now he shed his blood, but our redemption is in him. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He paid the price that we couldn't pay. He satisfied God because we couldn't. We were unqualified. We were unfit. We were unworthy. We were without strength. We were enemies of God. We were dead to God. We could not understand the things of the Spirit of God. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And we have redemption in him through his blood that took away the sins of the world, that took away the sins of every one of his people. It took the blood of Christ, the blood of God's holy son, to pay for our sin. And it did. He did. It took the blood of God's holy son to translate us. And it did. It took the blood of God's Holy Son to make us partakers. It took the blood of God's Holy Son to qualify us. And it took the blood of God's Holy Son to redeem His people from their sins, which is what it says He came to do in the beginning. His blood was offered once to the Father, the one who made us meet. He can make us meet now because the blood was offered to Him and was accepted. My sins are forgiven.
Yeah.
Because of Christ. My sins are forgiven because I am in Christ. And Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Who is the image of the invisible God? The same one we're in whom? His dear Son. The firstborn of every creature. He's the one we have to see. He's the one we look to. No man has seen the Father at any time. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Walter, the reason I started on this was, for by Him all things are created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Because when Jim was speaking last week, and he talked about John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's Jesus Christ. I agree with everything Jim said about that. Completely. I have no problem with it at all. Because whenever the beginning was, Christ was there. And Christ was God. The Word was God. He was with God and He was God. Christ was God before the foundation of the world. Christ Jesus is the Creator. The world doesn't know that. And I can tell you why. But as Jim was reading that, one of the things that hit me when he read that, he said, and then he said, when in Genesis 1:1, which John was referring to, God said, "Let there be light." Christ was the voice that said, "Let there be light." I agree. And I thought about it as he was preaching it. And I thought about it, and where was I? And where were you? And where was all of His people? When He said, "Let there be light," we were in Him before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And that just boggles my mind. That is just too amazing to comprehend. That I was in Him before the foundation of the world, and He was speaking the world into being. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that made that was made. That's John 1:3. He read that, and I thought of this: for by Him were all things created. This is it, His dear Son. This is Jesus Christ, who is the image. For by Him were all things created. I got into a discussion once, and my boss, who is my former boss, who was kind of religious, but I swear to God, mostly superstitious, is what it always seemed to come out to me. And he had been talking to a fellow who was a preacher or whatever they call it, for the Jehovah Witnesses. And he was talking about this, and he was talking about that, and I said, listen, all I know is what the scripture says. And I says, what it says is, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. That's what the book says. Now, anybody else can say anything else they want to. But you got it in 1 John. You got it in Paul here to the Colossians. Jesus Christ is the Creator. He spoke and it was done. No man has seen God at any time, Old Testament or New. Old Testament or New. At any time. And actually, you know, pretty much when they're writing this, they were writing the New Testament. It's part of the New Testament. It's 1 John 4 and 12. And John 1, 18. No man, 1 John 4, 12 says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. No man has seen God at any time. Old Testament or New. Anytime you'll hear of where God walked in the garden in the cool of the evening looking for Adam and Eve, that was Jesus Christ. Nothing that was ever created was created without him. But he doesn't stop there. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Christ is the one who spoke the worlds into being. Because he was there before all things. But that's what this verse is saying. He's before all things. He is preeminent.
Yeah, preeminent.
There is nothing above him.
Right.
Nothing before him. And nothing to come after him. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I can tell you today, the Word is God. The Word still is God today. Because he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It doesn't say, and by him all things exist. Although they do.
They do.
That's true. But by him all things consist. I'm always drawn back to that sparrow analogy. Although it wasn't an analogy. Not a sparrow falls without my Father.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, not a sparrow falls without my Father knowing it.
No,
it's not what he says. Not a sparrow falls without my Father.
Right.
By him all things consist. That's little things and big things. Jesus Christ is my God. I like saying that. Jesus Christ is my God. Because he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is God. He was God, he is God, he ever shall be God.
Yeah.
Because that's the definition of God. forever. We were elect, chosen before the foundation of the world. Names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. And now we have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And this has been revealed to us. If you know Him, if you love Him, He has revealed Himself to us who didn't want to know Him, who used to hang out with the powers of darkness and used to be happy to hang out with the powers of darkness, who used to run from the light because we hated it.
Yeah.
He's revealed this to us. Why? By Him all things consist.
Yeah.
It's His work, it's His will, and it's His way. We are now in the kingdom of His dear Son. Acts 17 verse 28 says this, "For in Him, we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said it, for we are also His offspring." By His grace, by His power, by His lordship, by His choice, we are in the kingdom of His dear Son. We now, if you believe, are part, you know you're a part of the family of God. Believers are the saints of God by Jesus Christ. And His people have been in Him from before the foundation of the world. But now we know it. We get to know it. We were there before. But now we know it. Because He has given His people life. When it pleased Him. When He was ready for it. We have heard the good news of our salvation. Because He's given us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. And now we love Him because He first loved us. And we find out He has always loved His people.
Yeah.
He loved His people when they weren't a people. That was Israel. I didn't love you because you was the most populous on earth. I loved you because you was the least. You was zero. He made a people. And He made us. And then, in His time, in His place, the Spirit blows whether it listeth. You can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going. But He made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has given that to us. And by Him, even that consists.
Yeah.
All things consist. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Thee. Our Lord, Creator of heaven and in earth. Lord, thank You for Your Son, who gave Himself for us, a ransom for many, whom He purchased with His blood and redeemed. And thank You for the life that we now live. We live by the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. In His name we pray. Amen.